Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was last weekend, Dylan. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, but you can always play Florida Georgia Line. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. We do have a mic'd up coming up in a moment, and AC/DC tickets next hour. But first, got to talk some college football, because Auburn and Notre Dame have agreed to a home-and-home series in 2027 and 2028. 27 is South Bend, and then 28 is Auburn. They've never played each other before.
That's so mind-boggling to me. And this is kind of the same setup you had for Georgia. Just how long ago was that when they went up to South Bend? Not that long ago.
It was 2017 was the first year of that. They went up to South Bend, because that was the opening weekend of NFL season, and it was like the state of Georgia took over.
That's right.
Because you're looking everywhere. I'm watching that game in Chicago.
Yep.
Before we played the Bears the night before, and it felt like we were in Athens, Mike.
That's crazy.
So
when I saw though that these teams have never played before, that doesn't even seem possible. That two teams like that, as storied as both those programs have been at times, have never faced off.
Not even in a bowl game.
I mean, not even in a bowl game. Like how I was sitting there thinking back. I don't know how to look this up. I'm not good with Googling and stats the way some of y'all are, and Mike Conti and everything else. But I would be curious to know, like, who's the team that Bama has not played that's like a Power Four team? You know, like, is there any of them out there that are Power Four teams that Bama hasn't played or that Georgia hasn't played? Doesn't seem like there would be another Power Four team that any of these schools have not played before.
Ooh.
I'm just waiting for him to start Googling.
Yeah, he thought about it.
I want to find out.
Someone will tweet us.
Somebody will let us know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, is there a team that Georgia has not played that's a Power Four team that you'd be like, man, that's crazy?
Well, you got to remember that the game has been regionaled off, in regions, for quite some time. Where you don't play games you're not going to travel. Nobody was traveling south. Nobody was traveling north to play. And you would meet in these bowl games. But remember this, these bowl games at one point, back when the Bowl Coalition or the Bowl Alliance was around, was all about the Big 12 winner played it was always like an at-large or whatever, or an ACC team down in the Orange Bowl, and the SEC would go to the Sugar Bowl, and the Rose Bowl would be the Pac-10 and the Big Ten at the time.
Yep.
And so they did it, and there wasn't 60 bowls, right?
Yeah.
And now the college football playoff has essentially force-fed people into playing these out-of-conference games, and Notre Dame is a team that needs to do more of this than anybody.
I agree, and I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a fun time to see those two face off in a couple of years.
Well, and at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Rusty Mansell about Georgia at Mississippi State, but another game I want to get your take on is number 7 BYU at number 8 Texas Tech.
This is an interesting game for a lot of different reasons. First of all, I didn't think either one of these teams would be ranked in the college football playoff poll as high as they are. It's clear to me that they are giving a lot of credence to the Big 12, more so than they are the ACC, when you look at how the ACC
better conference.
It is, and this year I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially on a weekend where Florida State's playing Clemson in an unranked matchup that doesn't even seem real.
It just seems like aren't they still suing the ACC because they're too good for the ACC,
right,
and need more revenue sharing?
Yes, they're like, we got to get out of here.
How's that working out?
It is crazy, but BYU, man, is just one of those teams, true freshman starting quarterback, after the situation they've had, and he is playing lights out. And so I think they're exciting. Texas Tech, obviously, ton of talent they've brought into that program as well.
Joey McGuire at Texas Tech, he's a Texas high school coach, essentially. He's got Texas really locked down. All the coaches there. I was talking to Arch about him, because Arch did a lot of Big 12 stuff. He's got a really good working relationship with the high schools. He's done a good job. I'm just curious. Texas Tech is just infused money in that program as of late. But I am curious if anybody gets all these openings and says, why isn't he on anybody's short list? And why aren't we talking to him? Because would he be willing to go to a LSU, an Auburn, where there's money as well at these Florida, where there's money in these programs, Penn State.
Yeah, but he's proven money. We just talked about their money at Texas Tech.
I know. I understand that. But and again, I set it up to where I don't think he necessarily would leave. But my point is, why are you not at least calling him? Because he's proven if you give him resources, he can win. He can go into Texas and recruit, which used to be a lot more important than it is now. But he's still a guy that can win. If I'm Penn State, I'm like, hey, I mean, can we at least talk? I wouldn't leave Texas Tech for Penn State these days. Too cold.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I don't know. Have you ever been to Lubbock? It's not exactly a destination.
No, you would
want to sign up for.
No, but Penn State is a blue blood that I would love to have if I was a coach to say I could, win a title there.
I think that my biggest takeaway from this game, and we'll move on, but I am just so curious to see whoever loses this game, how far they fall. Are they still in the top 10? Are they still in the top 12? Like that, and there's a number of interesting matchups down the stretch run in the Big 12 here where we're going to see a couple of these teams line up against one another that have been good throughout the season. So, be interesting.
Another game this weekend is number 3 Texas A&M at number 22 Missouri.
Missouri's lost their quarterbacks. I think they're going with a blue chip, 4-star prospect at quarterback. Didn't look awful when he came in last week. But Texas A&M's just – they're a snowball rolling downhill to me right now. I'd be curious to see. I don't know that they've seen an offense quite like this. But, again, when you talk about a backup quarterback and a freshman coming in and being a part of that, it's going to be tough sledding against that defense.
Yeah, they got one of the best defensive linemen in the country as far as getting off the edge and making things happen. That's what I would be doing if I was Eli. Eli's looking he's getting interviewed anyway.
He's stressed, isn't he? He's been stressed out a lot. He didn't like the college football playoff committee.
Well, he's a high-strung little guy.
He is a high-strung fella.
He might be wearing different colors here in a couple weeks anyway. So
I know that was my when he was so upset about the college football playoff committee and where Missouri was ranked, and he it's like a moving target. I'm sitting there going, how upset are you? And how much would this sway your decision if you're like, man, we're just not getting the respect at Missouri? Might as well go somewhere else because he is a name that continues to pop up at the LSUs and the Floridas and the Auburns and everything else going on.
Why do you think he made a big deal about it?
I'm just curious. Like, what is the financial backing of a place like Mizzou?
That's a really good question.
Are they rich at all? Like, where would they rank in the SEC?
It doesn't feel like it.
I agree.
But they have to be. They have to have some money because they've been consistently good for somebody. There was on ESPN, they were popping up, and I don't know if you remember this, but the 97 game between Nebraska and Mizzou when Mizzou was in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And the late drive where the ball gets kicked in the end zone, and I think the guy's name was McGriff, like dives for it and grabs it. It saved Nebraska's season. It ended up the reason why they were able to split that title with Michigan. But it was a really good game in Mizzou. Their stadium's going under renovation, so they've clearly got some money.
It looks good. The 2008 Big 12 championship between them and Oklahoma, Sam Bradford against Chase Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, some slugfest. We always watch that one, too. This is a weird stat. Chase Daniel and Greg McElroy were high school teammates. Greg McElroy only started 1 year because Chase Daniel was the starting quarterback at his high school for like 3 years. Interesting. But nonetheless, those games that Missouri used to play against Oklahoma were always a lot of fun back when I was in school.
It will be interesting this weekend, this Saturday. Also, what you could do this Saturday from noon to 2 is hang out with me.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to be at Carriage Kia in Woodstock as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand, other prizes. And then someone else gets tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, it's Saturday, noon to 2 at Carriage Kia in Woodstock.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Stock.
And he's mic'd up, brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 30 locations. All right, told you guys, what does Knowshon Moreno, Tim Tebow, and John Parker Wilson have in common? I'm going to get there in just a second. I'm going to see if Bo remembers these exact circumstances surrounding a couple of these. Knowshon Moreno takes a toss around the left side of the line of scrimmage in 2008 down in Baton Rouge against LSU. Do you remember what he did as he got to the end zone?
Well, I think so, because I know what one of these characters did already, and he probably did the sign.
Call me. Hey, yeah. Put the fingers up to the face. I don't remember. I know that Tim Tebow did this. I don't remember, and you can give more context. Tim Tebow also does the same signal, and I think his was the year earlier, yeah. 2007. But I don't think Florida won that game. Georgia won handily in the Knowshon Moreno game.
So I'll try to make it quick, which is tough for me. But it's 2007. Florida's the defending national champion. That was the year with two
eventually
losses.
Eventually did win the national championship.
It is like, and at that point in time, and it was in October, so they're either 1-2 or 1-4 or something like that. And they got Tim Tebow's cell phone. LSU's student, and they called him so much that he had to change his number.
Yep.
Like after like 10 hours.
Exactly right.
So that game was really good. If you remember, it's an overtime game. Jacob Hester runs for like 7 fourth down conversions.
It was the year that LSU won a national title, but they didn't lose. They lost two games, but neither one of them were in regulation. They were both overtime losses. I thought it was Kentucky. Right.
I think it was Kentucky and Arkansas, actually.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay. And so the long story, Tebow, that was his Heisman year. He scores a touchdown. And because of that, he gives the call me sign to the student body, taunting them, which was, at that point in time, a little bit out of character, body moment for Tim Tebow, because all you knew was, oh, shucks, and, you know, John 3:16 and everything.
He was a sophomore at that point.
Yeah.
Coming off a national title. Chris Leak was the main quarterback. So that brings me down, and I don't remember, how long was Tim Tebow's run when he does that? I'm assuming it was a running touchdown.
I don't remember, but they were in the red.
I remember it looked cool.
They were in the red area.
It looked cool.
I know that.
And I say all that to tell the story about the third guy in this ordeal, who was my teammate, John Parker Wilson, who obviously a good buddy of mine, still good buddies to this day, and he was our quarterback in 2008. Now, in 2008, bring yourself back into this mode. And again, I'm telling all these stories because Bama plays LSU this weekend. Doesn't, as I mentioned earlier, doesn't pack the luster that it once kind of did. In 2008, when we went down to Baton Rouge, it was Nick Saban's first trip back to Baton Rouge as the Alabama head coach. He wasn't well liked. They were burning the effigies.
Ooh,
they were throwing eggs at the buses.
I remember this game.
We got there 2 hours before the game and kind of walked around the field with our headphones in and stuff. Student section was completely slammed, booing him, cussing him. I don't even think he went past the 50. He just turned around and went back. He's like, all right, cool. I kind of waved at him like, yeah, we see you. It is what it is. That game, we were ranked number one in the country for the first time of my career, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And it came right after the Michael Crabtree Texas Tech against Texas game the week before, where he scores that sideline touchdown. Texas loses. They're no longer the number one team in the country. And that we were like, oh, it's going to be us. So we go down to LSU, go down to Baton Rouge. Dude, I had a Thursday night class with John Parker Wilson. And he walks in. He goes, hey, man, can I borrow your phone? Can I borrow your phone for a second? I got to text Tyler, who was – from here. She's now his wife, and they've been married a long time. But he's like, I got to text Tyler about something. And I was like, yeah, man, where's your phone? He goes, oh, it's right here. It's just not working. I said, oh, man, what's wrong with it? He goes, well, I think what happened is somebody got my phone number. And I was like, oh, well, can you try this? Can you try that? I'm giving all these workarounds. He's like, no, you don't understand. Turns it on, powers it up. Bzz, bzz, bzz,
oh, no. Bzz, bzz,
bzz, bzz. Oh. I mean, just, and he was like, see, he couldn't even get to the settings to like put it in like airplane mode at the time because it would not stop ringing. And I mean, I think that something like 10,000 phone calls he got on that Thursday, ended up having to change his number and cut his phone off.
It's incredible how coordinated those efforts are.
Insane. insane.
I don't know. I've never been a part of something like that on either even what you've been a part of. But there's right. it almost feels like they get everybody together and go, all right, here's the number. At 8 o'clock, just start calling as much as you can nonstop.
Yep.
And it's the only way you can do it.
It's like a law of diminishing returns, though, because you're like at a certain point, they're just turning their phone off. And, of course, it throws you for a loop. And he was the quarterback. Now, his celebration, that's why I asked how long Tebow's run was, not nearly as cool as No'Shawn and Tebow, although I respected it. And it was, for his career, it was spot on. He does a quarterback sneak, and of course, I'm playing guard at the time, and he kind of stands up out of this pile, his hat's on crooked, you know what I mean? Like, his chin strap's coming down, and he's like, I got to get this in there, and he throws the cell phone up, and I think he scored on two quarterback sneaks. We scored on a quarterback sneak in overtime that actually won that game in overtime, but yeah, his celebration, not nearly as cool with the phone, but he puts the phone up to his ear.
It felt like every run that Tebow had in college was cool because he hit somebody in every one of them.
Yeah.
It's just the way that offense exactly. was designed.
Exactly. It is funny, and I'll ask Allie this. Was it out of bounds? Because I look back on it, at the time, I was peeved.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like so ridiculous. We're just college kids trying to play a football game.
Right.
And now I look back on it, and it's like in football lore. You know what I mean? Like, I think back on that No'Shawn, the Tebow thing. Like, right. It's a story we're telling 20 years later.
Right.
Was it out of bounds, though, at the time?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you think it was all part of the gamesmanship, baby. She's I would have done the same thing.
I mean, well, I learned the other day that something being illegal doesn't mean it's cheating. So.
I knew it. Let me tell you something.
That is true.
I've been thinking about this so much
since we've had
that conversation.
I don't think anything has upset Allie on this show and however long she's been back with us, other than me saying it's not cheating, but it's a penalty. It's not cheating.
Gamesmanship is the word we're all looking for. Gamesmanship.
I literally think it just threw her entire world off. I don't understand. I don't know. She still can't fathom.
It tilted her axis a little bit.
Illegal, just like, is in my mind. I'm such a rule follower. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I mean, look, if I was to hold, does that mean I'm cheating? It's just illegal. It's just you throw the flag. It's not really cheating. You're trying.
So do you think in the NBA when they let LeBron take 7 steps, he's a cheater?
Yes.
Cheater!
I'm not even kidding. I went for a run yesterday, and this cheating illegal terminology was in my brain for a full mile.
Man.
I was like, I gotta let this go.
Rent-free.
Have you talked to Grant about this?
No.
You should ask Grant about it. You know why? Because as a baseball man, I'm interested in his take on it.
He's like, when they frame pitches, that's probably not
cheating.
Yeah, it's cheating.
I mean, you're lying.
right.
When you get up and say, I caught it, and the ball bounced off the ground, are you not lying? Is that not cheating? But you're trying to sell it.
We are going to stay on college football. We've got the Rusty Mansell about to step in studio next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.